It's your season to be blessed. I'm claiming that right there. It's my season to be blessed. I'm going to open up a window and pull you out of blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, when I come back and give you all a report of what he's done, don't be surprised.
All right now.
You know, I believe that God just continually blesses, but
yes, he does.
Sometimes he does. He goes above and beyond.
That's true. Amen.
And blesses you.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I tell you, my middle son, he's working at a place that I knew two people that that's how they got in there. I told them, asked them to help my son to get in, and he's been there 3 years. And they haven't given him a raise in 3 years. And so he's been, "Dad, I think I'm gonna leave." Now, mind you, he's trying to hang in there because this is where I was praying for him to be at. Uh-huh. You know, so he's there because I said, the couple of guys that I knew helped get him in, so they're using him. They're using his skills. He's very good as a technician, you know. He has a good analytical of electricity and all that. Mm-hmm. And so they're not paying him right. Mm-hmm. And I called. I didn't let him know about it, but I called one of the guys up there. I said, "Look, wait a minute. Now, my son was there, and not as a mercy case, but I thought that would be his fix. You know, his skills and what needs to be done, the kind of work you do. And I prayed to God, and this is where God reminded me to send him there. Well, somebody came to him last week and said to him, "We're going to give you a raise."
Amen.
I'm not talking about a raise. I'm talking about a raise. Amen. I said, "God." Uh-huh. So he don't know how much yet, but all we know that it's coming.
It's coming.
And see, when he gets blessed, I'm blessed, y'all. I might feel a little guilty, but when he gets blessed, uh-huh, I'm blessed. Amen. I ain't got to worry about that. Blessing. Amen. Amen. But the fact that he has stood in there,
yes,
when it didn't look like he should have, when they were just out and out mistreat,
that's all.
And he stood with that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I said, "Boy, you're showing yourself to be a hall." And so I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him, and and it's a whole lot of things about him has changed recently, because my wife and I, we pray for him. You know, he's the most stubborn of all of our children. He's hardcore, you know. But God is beginning to change things about him, and we're just seeing it, and we're just saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." So pray for the whole family, you know. Pray for the whole family. We thank God. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 35? Now, I'm not going to be long today. This is a very short sermon, but to me, it meets what we need to be concerned about. Luke 18:35. I'm going to ask Deacon Smith to read it for us, 35 through 43, if you don't mind, sir. Luke 18, 35 through 43.
And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Mm-hmm. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Mm-hmm. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Mm-hmm. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when he saw it, gave praise unto God.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I want to talk for a little bit on Jesus is still healing the blind. Uh-huh. Something wrong with that thing there, brother.
Jesus
is still healing the blind. The parable of the blind man is still applicable today as it was in days gone by. The parable is an earthly story with a what?
Heavenly
meaning. The parable is an earthly story, a story of what happens here to prepare us for what is going to be happening in the spiritual realm with God. Amen. Now, don't forget, we are all a part of what? God's kingdom. Right now, we are living in God's kingdom, whether we want to understand it or not. There are people who said, no, you only live when you get up there. When you transfer over from being in the world to being in Christ, you have transferred over to God's kingdom. We're in it right now. You and I live in it. We might have some faults and failures, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we are in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how bad it looks inside, but we are in the kingdom of God. So here, this blind man set by the wayside. But he was not just there for his situation then.
All right.
He was also there for you and for me.
Uh-huh.
The most important thing that a Christian today has to be mindful of and be concerned about is that Jesus did not come to heal the blinded eye.
All right.
He came to heal the sin-sick soul. That's what he came for. He came to heal our spiritual body than more than our physical body. If that was not true, then John the Baptist would probably be living longer than he did.
All right.
But Jesus told John, don't worry, I'm taking care of things. And John went off the scene, got his head cut off. And this is one of the most favorite. Jesus said that there's no man born of a woman greater than John the Baptist. Right. So that it's not about your physicalness. It's about what? Your spiritual soul.
Amen.
He came to save us from the sickness of sin.
Uh-huh.
That's why he came. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget that and we look at it as, well, oh God, I got this problem going on. Can you fix this? Okay. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. But that's not why he came.
Amen.
He came to die for a sinner like you and me.
My Lord.
We can forget that sometimes. That's the primary purpose of his coming. It wasn't to come to take care of our band-aid wounds. He did that to show his power, to let us know who he is, but that's not why he came. He came to show that there was eternal life, and that you can only reach eternal life through him crucified, through the blood of Christ. That's the only way you and I could get to heaven. This blind man that was sitting by the wayside, it says a certain blind man. And I like it when it says that, because I know that the story is something about a real person that was there. Because that's why it said a certain blind, not any blind man. It was a certain blind man that was sitting by the wayside. And he wanted to, he didn't know what life was going to be like. Every day he begged along the roadside. And sometimes people listened to him and sometimes they didn't. But he stayed by the wayside. And then the story goes on to say they heard a noise coming. And see, that's one good thing about those who are blind.
Come on.
The Bible says that their hearing becomes accentuated. That you can hear more than you ever realized.
Yes, sir.
So this blind man now could hear. So in other words, God didn't take away. God even multiplied to the blind man. God added to the blind man his hearing, that he could hear the noise. And when he heard the noise, he said, "What is that?" And they said, "It was Jesus of Nazareth passing by." Oh, my, my. This man, it perked up his ears. It made his interest go up. Jesus of Nazareth passing by. See, the truth of the story is that begging man on the side of the road is you and myself. We were once in the life of sin.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, "No, I was." Yes, you were. Yes, you were. All of us. The Bible said, "All have sinned and come short of his glory." So we were sitting by the roadside and we were in the position of a beggar. Somebody, "Oh, I had all the money I want," but you were crooked. You were ratchet. You were no good. You couldn't get to heaven on your own merit. You had nothing. Even though you might think everything was all right, you and I were as filthy rags. Somebody like to hear about yourself. Somebody say, "You talking about yourself, Reverend?" I am. And you too. Hey. We were all like that.
Amen.
See, all the time, we like to be able to say, "Look at them, man, and look at her, and look at him, and look at them down the road." But sometimes you got to go back in your memory and say, "I was there one time. Yes, I was. I looked like a rag, filthy as it was." Oh, hallelujah. And so this man heard that name of Jesus. And he said, the Bible said, he cried out,
"Yes, sir.
Oh, thou son of David, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." I don't know about you, but I remember making that cry one day. Lord, have mercy on my soul. I even didn't understand the full meaning. But as I got older, I understood what it means when God had mercy on my soul. When I realized that my life was a life of transgression in sin. And then he came and brought me out of the muck and the mire and set me on a solid rock to stay. And that man named Jesus, he's a friend to the lost. He's a friend to the blind. He's a friend to the hurt. He's a friend to the disgusted. He is all that you need. That man named Jesus. That man named Jesus. He knew, the blind man knew where his grace and mercy came from. He said, "Have mercy on me."
Have mercy, Jesus.
And the Bible says Jesus heard the cry of the man. I see Jesus hears your cry.
Yes, he does.
If he heard that man back then, blind man, he still hears your cry. He knows just how much you can handle. He knows just how much you can hold on to. He knows when your briny tears get so down that you don't know where to turn to. You sometimes feel alone.
Yes,
sometimes feel disgusted. You feel worried and you just your mind is frustrated in life. But I want you to know that your Savior still walks by you. He's still by your side. He's still an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's all that you need. This man named Jesus. Does somebody know him? Do you know him as Savior? Do you know him as King? So this man went to Jesus. And Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now the truth is this. Jesus knew what the man needed. Jesus knows what you need. He knows what I need. But he wanted to hear the man say it.
Amen.
Say what it is that you want God to hear. Say what it is. So that means that you and I have a different method. He didn't have to pray to God because God was already there. So we got to pray to God so he can hear what our needs are. That's why you develop a regular prayer life. So that you can talk to God. And he will hear you and answer your prayer. Somebody said, well, why don't I have to do just like that man did? Well, Jesus said a man ought to always pray. The Bible said, the word said, a man ought to always pray.
Yes.
Prayer is our constant connection to God. He wants to hear his children. He wants to know just what's on your heart. And he's sitting right there at the throne right now listening to you, whatever we have to say. Isn't it nice to know that you're not alone?
Oh, yes.
This man, as I said, was just like you and I. He took the place of you and I. This man's example is our example. In other words, we all were spiritually blind.
Right.
Spiritually blind.
My Lord.
We were all there. But thanks be to God that we are no longer spiritually blind. The Bible says old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Yes.
So when you come in Christ, that blindness, your eyes begin to open.
Yes.
Your spiritual eyes.
Come on.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Your spiritual eyes begin to open. And you can see what God is telling you.
Yes,
and
sir.
You can say, why did I take so long?
Yes.
What was it about it that made me just take so long in here? But you're glad that you're no longer where you used to be.
All right, man.
Ain't that nice to know?
That's nice.
You're a new creature in Christ.
Yes, Lord.
This blind man, the Bible says, it says he received his sight. And Jesus said this first, thy faith has saved thee.
Without faith.
See, so that says that if this man, even though he was blind, had not had faith, he would not have gotten saved. His salvation came through his faith. So that tells me that you and I must maintain our faith and increase our faith. Faith comes what?
By hearing
the word of God. So the more you get the word of God, the greater is your faith. The more you read the word of God, the more your faith is going to grow. And I tell you, that's the hallmark of a good church. Is that people's faith has grown by the word.
Yes.
See, because the more you hear the word, the more you spout the word, the more you tell somebody else about the word, you become like a tea kettle boiling over. You gotta tell somebody. Like Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I got to tell somebody what God has done for me.
Yes.
Now he changed my life and brought me the victory. This God that I serve, he's a mighty good God. And see, this blind man realized that he was blinded. He realized that he had Christ as his Savior, and he was enjoying, because here's what he said. It says that when he received his sight, he went about followed him and glorified God.
Immediately. Yes.
When you glorify God, you have a purpose. You can't help. You got to go and share the good news.
Amen.
You got to tell somebody.
Somebody.
If you're not telling nobody, then you're not glorifying him.
Mm-hmm.
See, I go through these situations in my mind a lot of times. I says, well, wait a minute, Solid Rock, why? What's happening here? I know we don't meet many people as we used to because of COVID. I'm understanding of that.
Yeah.
But today, in my mind, knowing that COVID is killing people and
yes,
all this is going on, it seems that the churches would be running over. You would think people are trying to get away from COVID and get into where salvation is, but they ain't running like that. They're not running like that. And that tells us that somewhere along the line, either they're not hearing it or that Satan has got such a hold. But see, I still believe that the power of God is overwhelming Satan. So it's important to keep the gospel going. It's important. See, we got to start in our families. And I know I have a difficult time with my own children.
Oh, yeah.
Telling them the truth and them following this. You know, they in their mindset, I believe that they just believe that their mom and dad is taking care of everything. But it ain't that way. We only can go far as we can go. They got to go a little further themselves. But my dad can say, every tub is set on his own bottom. That's an old country thing to say. In other words, when you didn't do right, when we were working on the farm down there back in the day, and we were doing this and that, and I said, well, Coon didn't help me. My brother Coon. He didn't help me. He said, every tough stand on his own bottom. Well, you do your own thing. You do what's right. And then we'll handle him. But you do your part. Every tough stand on his own bottom. But it's important today because our children are fighting us.
Yes, they are.
They're fighting us, and they got this internet thing that to me is the most poisonous thing that ever made to man.
Devil man.
I hate to say it, but it does some good things, but it's a dangerous thing.
It's a dangerous thing.
That thing there is telling people lies are being transported all around the world because of that thing.
Yes.
It looked like it's good, but it's got some wickedness in it.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's life might have been saved. I don't care about that. That thing is dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Because it's telling a whole lot of stuff ain't true. That's why they're not getting vaccinated. Because of that lie right there.
Amen.
Now listen to that thing.
Yes, sir. That is so true.
Jesus.
And that's the problem right now. That's why we can't get rid of this thing. This thing should have been gotten rid of. But because these children are on that thing more than they're on anything else.
Listen.
That to them is like the truth. Like that's like the Bible to them. You put it on there, and look, maybe you know what? Maybe that's a technique we got to look at, Reverend Marshall, how to put the word out in a non-church-like manner. You know, when they look at our website and see a church, maybe we need to get it like the rest of them, just throw something out there, and yeah, Jesus is coming back. Yeah, he's coming back, y'all. They might get it that way. And act like we're coming from some crazy group, you know what I mean? But that's the way they listen. They don't want to listen to something look like church. Anything sound like church, look like church? They don't want to hear that. They want to hear somebody like some guru telling them this stuff. Yeah. That's what they follow that. I didn't mean to get all over there, but I want you to know that this man who is nameless, the Bible says that he began to glorify God. And it says, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. When they saw it, in other words, others began to glorify God and praise God when they saw this man who was blind. See, that's the whole thing, church. Our examples are those which also help others to come to Christ.
That's right.
Our lives are examples. It's important to show and demonstrate a Christian walk. Even when it doesn't look like the people are listening, somebody is watching you.
That's right.
Somebody's paying attention to you.
Amen.
It might be just that little child across the street, across the road, but somebody is watching you. Your life is on a scope, and everybody is watching. Because if they're not watching, the Bible says an angel watches. Night and day, the deeds done in this body. So somebody is watching. So we got to be mindful of this. I said I wouldn't be long, and I'm pretty much done. But I want you to know that it's time to lift up Jesus. It's time to lift him up everywhere you go, even in your family especially. For some reason, I have been on this tear now for about 6 months. Something is going on. I don't know what it is. Something is going on. But we got to get ready, because I believe that he's closer and the time is closer than we've ever realized. I really believe that.
Yes,
the scriptures look like it, but it's even in the way that things are going. Something is happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Something is happening. Get ready, church.
Ready.
And let's go home. Get ready. Hallelujah. God is closer than we realize. I know they said that's before. That's how they were. I'm not a prognosticator, but something is going on.
My Lord.
It's going on in this world today. Because see, what one of the big things, like I said, that thing there, is about deception.
Yes.
And who's the master of deception?
Satan.
Devil. Satan. So see, he's using that. That's his greatest tool right now, is that cell phone. People are dying left and right because of that thing. Lies. Everything. So the song says, get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, oh, get right, church, now. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church, and let's go home. Get right, church.